Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
I respect and we respect that person's beliefs. That person's not going to get on an airplane.
Okay. There will be no exceptions just because of religion.
People choose to worship God as they please. Islam flourishes, but so do other faiths.
To meet its moral obligations to the Iraqi people, it is critically important that the United States take additional steps now to help Iraq protect its citizens, especially Christians, and others who are victims of organized attacks.
Luther doesn't want us to find our predestination in eternity past. Luther wants us to find it in the wounds of Jesus Christ, in his word, and in his sacraments.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
In Great Britain, Prince William and his girlfriend Katie have announced that they're going to be married, doubtless a fairy tale wedding. They had actually been living together for a long time. That's kind of unusual, but hey, it's the times and they are a-changing. He gets and she gets a fairy tale ending to cohabitation, but what about people who aren't the Prince of Great Britain or people who aren't even middle class? What about many people who cohabit and in some cases, for generations, have made that the habit rather than traditional marriage? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. This Thursday afternoon, the 18th of November, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Colleen Carol Campbell joins us on this Thursday to talk about cohabitation and cultural elites and a new marriage survey. Then Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We'll talk about the media coverage of the Fall General Assembly of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and how, in the press, the labels don't necessarily fit the players. After that, we'll get your comments, your thoughts, your criticism, your show suggestions from the Issues Etc. comment line. It is Thursday, November the 18th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell hosts a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
You talk about this new Pew Research and Time magazine survey on Americans, and the headline, of course, is that 4 in 10, 40% of Americans say marriage is becoming obsolete. What do you think? Have we crossed a threshold into now kind of on the way of saying marriage as a social institution is defunct?
Well, I don't think marriage is defunct, and I think it is too deeply rooted in our human nature to ever become obsolete. But I do think we have crossed a threshold in terms of public support for marriage. You know, we need a critical mass of people to acknowledge the unique importance of marriage, particularly in the welfare of children. And when we don't have that critical mass in a culture anymore, marriage does not vanish for all time, but in a particular culture, it can be so difficult to sustain that it becomes something that a relative minority of people experience. And that, of course, leads to all sorts of social upheaval and difficulties for children. So while I do think marriage is deeply rooted in our human nature, it is not necessarily something that flourishes in every society, and ours used to be a society where it did flourish. And as we've seen in the last few decades, that's becoming less and less true. And I think this newest survey is just another troubling sign that we need to get serious about explicitly affirming the unique importance of marriage in our lives and the lives of our children.
Social institutions like marriage don't just disappear. The vacuum that they leave, if they are not practiced, is filled with something else. So what is, among Americans, what institution has come to substitute for traditional marriage?
Well, I think the institution that has taken the place of marriage for so many Americans is cohabitation, if you could call it an institution, which it's not technically. But we know now that 4 in 10 American children today are born to unwed mothers. That number jumps to 1 in 2 for Hispanic children and 3 in 4 for African American children. So this is a great number of children in America today, almost every other child at this point, who are not being born to married parents, but rather to unmarried parents. And we know that even aside from the children, cohabitation has become sort of the de facto marriage arrangement and living arrangement for millions of couples. These rates have been climbing for decades, and they're really kind of reaching a critical threshold now. For many Americans, cohabitation is not even the thing you do before you get married, the sort of test run of your partner, like it was seen, I think, even just fairly recently. It has become the thing you do, period. If you want to raise children together, it's not seen anymore that marriage is the context you need to do that in. Even ideally, I think we still see high rates of support for marriage in theory in terms of Americans saying it's better for kids if their parents are married. But in terms of practice, we're not seeing that as much. And I think it's, you know, it's very disconcerting because when you look at the rates of breakups among cohabiting couples, they're much higher than the marital breakup rate. So even though a lot of the couples who choose to live together with their young children do so because they don't want to risk divorce till they're sure they've found the right person to marry, even if that person's the one they've already had children with, the studies show that actually cohabitation tends to lead to both higher rates of divorce and even, if you never get married, higher rates of breakup. So kids are really feeling the impact of all of this, and that's what we need to keep in mind when we talk about marriage becoming obsolete. It sounds sort of funny in theory, but in practice, the consequences are very serious for children.
Why do you think that 4 out of 10 Americans believe that marriage is becoming obsolete?
Well, I think partly because so many Americans are simply choosing to cohabit rather than to marry. And I think sometimes it's difficult to see what the actual effect is of this. And I think that's particularly true among cultural elites who tend to be the ones pushing these messages. And I'm speaking now, in our news media, entertainment media, even politics and public policy. You know, and especially when we see the Hollywood stars who are, you know, living together with this one and that one and raising their kids together, and they seem just fine without marriage, you know, the Brangelina sort of effect with, you know, hey, we've got all these kids and plenty of money and everything's great, we're committed to each other, why do we need a piece of paper? I think that kind of fuels this perception that maybe marriage isn't all that important. What that masks, though, is the fact that for the vast majority of lower-income Americans and those with fewer advantages, those who are not the Hollywood elites or the academic and political elites, for that matter, there is a very big difference between being married and simply living together in terms of rates of poverty, graduation rates, and all of the rest of it for children. So for kids, it makes a big difference whether your parents are married, and that's even more true when your parents have lower incomes and lower education levels. And yet it's that crop of Americans, that large group of Americans who do have lower incomes and lower education levels, who tend to watch these media messages shaped by cultural elites and believe this lie that marriage isn't all that important.
You've written recently about a very famous couple that have both cohabited and now recently announced what will doubtless be called the marriage of the century. Prince William and his longtime girlfriend are going to marry with great fanfare. What is the misperception that is sent when someone who can afford to do this, live like this, does this to the rest of the population, to those of us who can't afford to do what they do?
Well, I think the idea is that marriage is sort of a fairy tale ending, and it's what's coming at the end of a decade of dating and cohabiting, which is what Wadey Katie, as she was nicknamed, did with Prince William. The reality is that isn't how it tends to end for most of the rest of us, and especially for those, again, with lower incomes and lower education levels. Again, you know, the average young adult who lives with a boyfriend or girlfriend and has a relationship like this is actually going to have many of such relationships and may very well not walk down the aisle with any of these folks, or the person they finally walk down the aisle with will be 3 and 4 and 5 live-in girlfriends or boyfriends later. their chances of divorce will be higher. Their chances of marital satisfaction, according to one survey that came out last year, will be lower. So they're going to have a little different picture than this fairy tale ending. Again, especially true for those with lower income and lower education level. And it's interesting, a 2007 Pew Research Center survey of Americans here noted that college grads and wealthier Americans are more likely than those with lower incomes and lower education levels to marry. They're less likely to get divorced, and they're less likely to become parents outside of marriage. And yet it's interesting that same survey found that they are actually more likely to approve of all of these practices in principle. And again, here we have this problem where we have cultural elites saying, hey, you know, family structure doesn't matter. You don't need marriage. It's just a piece of paper. But in their own homes and families, they actually do want their kids to have married parents. They actually want their children to wait until they're married to have children. And so they're sort of doing what Brad Wilcox, a sociologist, has called walking right and talking left. They're sort of talking a liberal line, but they're actually living by more traditional values, at least in these areas, than the ones they sort of spout to everyone else. The problem with that is that those who are receiving those messages don't often know that that's the reality, that's the difference. And so you've got the poor being more, I think, susceptible to being influenced by media messages on these questions, and they're listening to the message, and they're following it, and in their own lives, they're not having a Will and Kate fairy tale ending. They're having a very different outcome for making similar choices, and that outcome is especially difficult for their children.
Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest. When we come back, there used to be a stigma attached to cohabitation. Where has it gone? Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a weekly radio television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 18th. We're talking about a new marriage survey that tells us 4 out of 10 Americans think a marriage is defunct. It is becoming obsolete, and we're talking about cohabitation and the cultural elites. When we come back, the stigma that used to be attached to cohabitation has disappeared. Why did it disappear and where did it go? A little bit later, Terry Mattingly will join us. We're going to talk about media coverage of the Fall General Assembly of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They changed leadership. Definitely you moved right in their leadership, but the labels that are being attached to it by the media, especially the print press, are not necessarily altogether accurate. Terry says it's just the same old template. We'll see what he has to say about that in a few minutes here on Issues Etc. We'll spend some time near the end of this hour talking about the Issues Etc. comment line, your questions, your comments, your criticism, all of that from the Issues Etc. comment line. By the way, it's open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for your questions, comments, criticism, show suggestions, 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. It's the Issues Etc. listener comment line. When we come back a little bit more with Colleen Carol Campbell, we'll spend some time talking about that stigma and whether or not we have kind of crossed the line culturally. If not for those who can turn back the clock to their grandparents' generation, for those whose grandparents' generation may have also been cohabiting together. Be right back.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Hey, St. Louis listeners. Our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year. But you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old Theology, New Technology, IssuesETC.org. Listen to what you want, when you want, Issues, etc.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues, etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old Theology, New Technology, Issues, etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues, etc. IssuesETC.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues, etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesETC, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at IssuesETC. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesETC, and on Twitter at IssuesETC. Connect with fellow Issues, etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesETC, and on Twitter at IssuesETC.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, November the 18th. Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest for a few minutes, then Terry Mattingly will join us. Before the break, Colleen, we were talking about cohabitation, how it works if you've kind of got all the social and financial safety net working for you, and how often the cultural elites that push for cohabitation don't practice it themselves. Where is the stigma that used to be attached to cohabitation gone? Whatever happened to it?
You know, I think that's a there's probably a complex answer to that question, but I think it's a number of things, and I think we as Christians need to look at the church partly to blame for this. I think out of a genuine desire to be compassionate to those who did not, for whatever reason, live up to the ideal of being married before they became parents, and especially, you know, a desire, obviously, for those of us who are pro-life to support the protection of human life in all its forms, even when that life comes at a time that, you know, the parents weren't ready and weren't planning on it. You know, those are good, compassionate desires. The problem, I think, is the same one we see throughout our culture, is we've confused being compassionate and kind and accepting of human frailty with having no moral standards at all and becoming so relativistic that we're terrified of passing judgment on anything. It's true that only God judges other people, but we can judge actions. We can judge the outcome of choices that people make without pronouncing on their motives. And the bottom line is that the outcome of millions and millions of Americans choosing to live together before marriage, live together as parents, and refuse to marry the person with whom they've had children, choosing, in other words, to say this person is good enough to be a parent to my child but not good enough for me to actually commit to stay with this person for life. The outcome of that is very bad for kids. And again, you can go back to just about every sociology study on this question in the last four decades. Look at every data point, and it's just amazing how consistent the data are in terms of showing that children fare best when raised by their married mothers and fathers. And we can't escape that. And there's nothing judgmental about pointing that out consistently. And then certainly within a faith-based context of reminding young couples that God does have a plan for marriage and family, and that, you know, love, sex, marriage, and the baby carriage go together in that plan. And we need to be very concerned about attempts to sever all of this and create really what has become sort of a mass group of kind of second-class de facto marriages that form and break up at alarming rates and leave kids as sort of the strewn along the highway of our, you know, race to freedom. And they're kind of the wreckage along the way, and their lives and the sense they have that life is not secure and love does not last. And that's the message they get from a culture that can't commit and that exalts cohabitation as an equal to marriage.
Here's my concern, and I want your thoughts on it, and that is for the well-heeled upper classes, for the middle class, they may well, this generation of children that have grown up with this tremendous uncertainty created by the alternatives to marriage and a high divorce rate, they may well say, I want what my grandparents had. And because they have a secure safety net socially and economically, they can have it. But the poor may be permanently stuck in this cycle of no marriage and the insecurity of children. Your thoughts?
I think that's right. And there again, we need to, you know, look at the messages that are being sent far and wide in the name of tolerance and compassion, encouraging behavior and choices that are going to leave more and more low-income Americans, you know, in a situation where they not only can't for themselves have marriage or raise their children with the help of a committed spouse, but their children may grow up never even knowing what marriage looks like. And I think that's the real danger here, especially for the lower classes, is not so much only that, you know, I grew up and dad wasn't around, or I never saw mom stay with the same boyfriend for longer than a couple of years, whatever. I think the deeper problem is you're going to have generations now and in the future that can't even remember what it looks like to see a dad come home from work and come home every day, day after day, week after week, year after year to his family. They're not even going to know what that looks like. And so you have entire pockets of this country where fatherlessness isn't the exception, it's the rule. And then when those kids want something different, if they even have the audacity to want something different, they don't even know what it looks like. And then they don't know how to be fathers in their children's lives, or they don't know how to be mothers who remain committed to their children's fathers. They don't even know how it works. And so that's what we're creating, is sort of a generational amnesia about not only the importance of marriage, but what marriage actually is. And so behind all of our little, you know, flippant headlines about whether or not marriage is obsolete, that's the ugly and frightening reality. And it, once again, as in so many of these social problems, it's visited upon the next generation more than the one that's tinkering around with marriage today. And that's, again, why Christians need to be so outspoken in defense of this institution that is millennia old and is as necessary for children's welfare today as it ever has been.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen is host of a weekly radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Todd.